Last night I saw Lester Maddox on a TV show with some smart-ass New York Jew. And the Jew laughed at Lester Maddox, and the audience laughed at Lester Maddox too. Well, he may be a fool, but he's our fool. And if they think they're better than him, they're wrong. So I went to the park and I took some paper along, and that's where I made this song.
We talk real funny. Music City Bowl, it's what I think of when I think of being cold and drunk. Because you don't know how cold this game can get. It really is. It's a freezing game. And because it's right down on the riverfront, right on the water, where everything just blows in and it cuts into your flesh and it breaks your soul. And speaking of that, speaking of broken souls, Clay Travis joining us. Clay, please, have you been to the Music City Bowl before as a resident of Nashville?
Yeah, I've been to 4 Music City Bowls, actually. It's kind of pathetic, I guess, but I've been to 4 of them. Yeah, and this one is actually not going to be cold. It's almost 60 degrees in Nashville right now. So the downside, of course, to Nashville in the winter is that the sun goes down at 4:30, so it will be dark, but it won't be cold. Last year's game against Kentucky was exquisitely and awfully and brutally cold. The year before that, when Vanderbilt won, of course, because hell was freezing over, it was incredibly cold. I mean, like, to the point where you couldn't even hardly stay in your seat. And this year's not going to be bad.
Yeah, you know how cold it has to be in order for drinking to help? Like, it really does have to be. Like, 40 degrees, drinking really doesn't help. You just feel drunk. And then, like, 30 degrees, yeah, it starts to help. But when it's, like, 28 and the wind really starts kicking up, like a good 30-mile-an-hour clip, that's when you resort to European-style, like, drinking of brandies. And other things which wouldn't even be palatable unless it was that cold. This game also has a pair of teams that really had an odd season. A North Carolina team that was gutted by suspensions, decimated by an NCAA scandal involving agent contact. And a Tennessee team that I think started off horribly and finished really, really well. But you know how bowls work. How do you sort of see this in terms of the team dynamics playing out?
My concern, I guess, from a Tennessee perspective is that Tennessee can't run the ball. And you're relying on a true freshman quarterback. And sometimes in that passing game, your timing is going to really kind of mess up your ability to be that good offensively. And Tennessee's awful on defense. I mean, awful to mediocre. I mean, this is a bad defense at best. So the defense I'm not very optimistic about for Tennessee. The offense has been really good and has the potential to be actually, I think, excellent next year and can be good, I think. But the problem is the timing. I'm just a little bit nervous about how well the timing is going to be. And Tennessee basically has jettisoned the running game down the stretch. They let Tyler Bray get in shotgun, snap the ball to him, and let him throw the ball over the field. And that was pretty successful because Bray's got going to be a really good quarterback in this league. But, you know, we're coming off a break, Christmas break, where everybody tells him how good he is and everything else. It could be trouble. I mean, I just think the timing could be off.
The bowl itself, if we're going to look at the events for this bowl game, there are a few that sort of disturb me. There's a few standards. For instance, you have your VIP dinner, right?
Yes.
Which was at the Country Music Hall of Fame. You have the FCA breakfast, right? Like your little prayer breakfast and the welcome party. I think they went to a Predators game for this, which wouldn't that be fun, getting a bunch of like country dudes, like a bunch of athletes to their first hockey game?
Well, it gave them an excuse to be able to actually use the tickets in the Nashville Predators arena, so that's good at least.
Yeah, I was going to say that's probably like doubled their attendance on the year, at least.
And they did a General Jackson, a nice trip down the river on the General Jackson showboat. They had the requisite eating contests and ribs and something else. I don't know what the other appetizer was. They had the Battle of the Bands downtown here in Nashville, along with something called Little Texas, which I'm assuming is smaller than the state, a band that came and performed. And like I said, the bands then battled in the streets. Somebody texted me and said, "Are you going to watch the bands?" And I said, "Am I an 11-year-old girl?" which some people might argue about, but it was freezing last night. You talk about the weather. Last night it was freezing, like a cold, damp rain. And if you went out to cheer to see which band was going to win the battle of downtown Nashville between UNC and UT, more power to you, because I can guarantee you I was not outside after about 6 o'clock last night.
I don't think people understand, that Nashville gets really, really cold. I think we made that abundantly clear. The 11-year-old girl in you, right?
Yes.
Would really have appreciated the Wives and Daughters tour. Which,
where did they go?
They went to
the Hermitage.
They were given a taste of what Music City had to offer at some of Nashville's best attractions, including an event at the world-famous Bluebird Cafe.
Well, yeah, that's actually nice. The problem with the Bluebird Cafe is that it's in suburban Nashville. You expect to go to honky tonks. The Bluebird Cafe is just out in Green Hills, which is a nice area of Nashville, but it's not really that close to downtown. So
no,
it's always kind of weird. You're in a random strip mall.
It's next to the mall. That's really the really damning thing about taking people to the Bluebird, right? If anyone wants to think, yeah, we'll go get some gritty Music City business, right? We'll see young bohemian country music artists like really struggling to make it. You got to pull up to a strip mall.
Yeah, that was not the choice to go. I mean, you want to go to the honky tonks downtown, which are awesome, but kind of crazy now because they don't allow smoking. So you can drink as much as you possibly want, but you walk into these places, and New York City, I think, was the first city I went to where you go into like a dimly lit back alley bar and you expect it to just be absolutely draped in the smell of smoke. And you walk in and it smells so fresh and clean, and you're like, this is not a bar. That's kind of what I feel like now when I walk into the honky tonks. It's much better because I'm not a smoker, but it is kind of crazy how that ambiance has changed just with the whether or not you're smoking business.
Yeah, I will tell you something. That is a deceptive get, because if you go to a place where the bars are very close together and you don't watch it, typically if you had a problem with overindulgence, what would happen is that you would sort of say, wow, man, I really smell like smoke. That's a good sign that, when you've been exposed to too much radiation and you wear that happens all the time to you and me.
I'm in Tennessee. We have nuclear power plants that erupt. That's why Steve Spurrier has his tick. You got him after he was exposed to radiation here.
Yeah, like a mutant. He was stronger in the next generation in evolution. The little thing that you wear, the little tag, if it turns black, it means you're dead, right? Like,
yeah.
If you go to a place where, like Atlanta, say, where you can smoke in a bar, at a certain point, you can't stand yourself. You're like, oh, man, I smell terrible. I got to go home, right? It's a sort of way to say, hey, we'll curb your behavior. But in a place where you can't, like, you can't judge that, you'll just go from bar to bar. You're like, oh, I'm fresh, I'm fine, little drunk, but that's okay. I find you get in trouble way more often in those places than you do in others.
Your embrace of the city of Atlanta and derogatory treatment of the city of Nashville is just indefensible, by the way. As a Southern person, the fact that you love the least Southern city in America in Atlanta and hate one of the most Southern cities in America in Nashville is, I think, just evidence. What do you call me, a daywalker? You're just a communist. I mean, I don't think there's any way to argue otherwise. You are someone who has attempted to pretend to be Southern. But in the meanwhile, you're just trying to infiltrate your northern ways, and that's why you like Atlanta.
I think you just actually, by logic, included Buffalo as being more southern than Atlanta. Is that right?
Buffalo, New York?
Yeah.
Why is Buffalo more southern?
I believe you said that Atlanta, the least southern city in America.
It is true. Buffalo is more southern than Atlanta.
Okay. I you would have to come up with, can you come up with any statement that would say that Buffalo was more southern than Atlanta?
Buffalo people are actually from Buffalo, seeing as how homogeneity is a big part of the South, right? You come from the same place that you're actually from. Atlanta is the least homogenous city in the entire South, hence it's the most northern. You're all immigrants.
I think that means you're a racist, Clay. Now, I have no evidence to say that, but it's a very convenient way of winning an argument. So I'm just going to go ahead and say that's the most racist thing you've ever said. And sexist.
I don't even understand how it implicates race, but definitely alleging racism when nothing has been said that implicates race is definitely a solid way for an Atlantan to try and win an argument. Certainly.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and do that. By the way, your city still sucks. I live there, I know.
Nashville is the greatest city in the South.
That's where I'm from. Yeah, you know what? New Orleans kicks the shit out of it, as does Atlanta.
New Orleans is great for about 8 blocks. The rest of the city is worthless.
You've got Birmingham. Birmingham is really the only place that, like, Nashville can lord over. Charlotte's better.
Charlotte is not better than Charlotte. Again, these are not Southern cities.
And you define Southern as duckheads. You define Southern as woohoo, we got a Starbucks on the corner now.
No. I define Southern as people actually from the South live there. Charleston is Southern. Nashville is Southern. Birmingham is Southern, but kind of crappy. New Orleans.
No. We've established this. I don't know if you've heard this theory.
New Orleans, I actually agree. I really like New Orleans. New Orleans is a Southern city.
Birmingham is Johannesburg. That's what Birmingham is. They're the same city. It's like a bunch of people living up on hills and a bunch of overpasses so that in days of yore, when racism was institutionalized, you could just drive over those people, right? Just drive through them, get to your office, drive out, and go back to the hills.
The amount of wealth in Birmingham, especially Birmingham is a weird city because it didn't exist in like 1850. I mean, this is a city that was created for wealth. I mean, it was an industrial city before it was an actual city. I mean, the entirety of Birmingham, you drive around in Birmingham, I think it's got more rich people than any city in America that you would not expect to have a ton of rich people. You know what I'm talking about? There are just so many multimillionaires in Birmingham, and you're like, what in the world? How did they get so rich and live here? It's really weird. It's a weird vibe.
The answer, and this is to my good friends in Birmingham, they're evil. Pure evil. That's how Birmingham got its money. Unlike the virtuous people of Atlanta who have made their money completely honestly and in every single way, much like Ted Turner. See, listen, Ted Turner, there. That wins the entire argument of why Atlanta is not only more Southern, but a superior city. We have a lunatic man god like Ted Turner as one of our totems. All right,
I just don't like Atlanta because every time I go out, I have to get into a cab and I go to some new area and then some other new area and they all look the same and I get twisted around and you've got your Midtown and your Downtown and your Buckheads and your Virginia Highlands and they all look the exact same, but they're all about 30 minutes apart.
So seriously, like some kind of gerbil who gets out of the little ball that its owner puts it on the floor. You know, you have those little gerbil balls and you can put the gerbil in it, like, you know. Like some sort of gerbil who is allowed to has escaped from that ball, right? You're going to blame your lack of geographic spatial complexity and the understanding thereof on your dislike of Atlanta.
The cities that I like are cities where you can go from one bar district to another, either walking, i.e. in Nashville, or you take a 5-minute cab ride that costs you $5. I don't like when I get drunk to get into a cab and sit for like 45 minutes and drive around on interstates and then get taken to another bar that's marginally better, if that, than the bar I'd already left. And meanwhile, everybody's like, oh, this bar's so much better. And then 10 minutes later, you're trying to get into a cab again. There are no cabs. You're driving around in circles. That is the experience of Atlanta in a nutshell. Then you get out and throw up and you go home. That's what I do in Atlanta.
I think this comes down to you being confused by having more than two options and your terrible taste in bars. I think that those two...
I will say this. Atlanta has better strip clubs than Nashville.
Oh, listen, that's not even a competition. I mean,
well, that is a check mark in Atlanta's favor.
Not even. And I will say this, too. The dance clubs, bars, strip clubs, pretty much any vice that you care to participate in, we've got Nashville. The only thing Nashville is superior in is check fraud. Check fraud and check kiting, Nashville, it's like, seriously, it's like the Harvard of check kiting.
Nashville would kick the city of Atlanta's ass. I mean, let's be honest. We are so much better drinkers. We are so much better. Oh, there's no doubt. We are so much better mopey angriness, you know, that fuels our creative.
That's because you're closer. Closer to Ohio. That's why.
What fuels Atlanta? We're not that close to Ohio. What fuels Atlanta's creative hunger?
The desire for money, sex, and violence. That's it. And that's
the desire for violence. There's people walking around like, man, I just want to kill somebody. That's Atlanta for me. That makes sense.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's a lot of that. I'm not going to contest that. As opposed to Nashville, where people walk around praying for their own deaths from boredom. I had that set up like five steps ago.
How many cities in America aren't boring? This is one of the most lively cities in America.
What on earth? What, you have the steeplechase?
Steeplechase is pretty awesome. I mean, I don't think you're giving our bar scene and our music scene any credit at all.
Oh, no, no.
I
your mean, music scene's deplorable and always will be. Remember, since 1960, Nashville is where country has gone to die.
But country is a small part of Nashville's bar scene. I can roll out right now, literally tonight, hang out with Young Buck, with Kid Rock, with
you're sunny,
you name it.
You just put Kid Gerald Rock Crow, in the category.
Anybody that I
please say if you
any
hang out
type
with,
of music, it's all here.
Hey, Steve Winwood's there. Wow.
I don't know who Steve Winwood is.
Everyone, that's the
Kings
best part
of Leon,
about Nashville.
Kings of Leon, where are they from? Nashville. Taylor Swift, Nashville.
Yeah, Kings of Leon have a multiple pedigree. If you ask people where they're from, you'll get three different answers.
If you ask them where they're from, they will say Nashville because they know it is the greatest city in the world. In fact, they're probably at the Music City Bowl right now getting plastered in a suite.
I think they have better things to do than go to the Music City Bowl.
Oh, certainly they don't. The Jonas Brothers are there too.
So that's the motto.
The Jonas
for...
Brothers right now are losing their virginity at the 50-yard line of the Music City Bowl. They're just banging chicks right now, left and right. They're passing from one to the next.
With Butch Davis looking over them, going, "I don't see anything. Don't know anything yeah, about this."
Butch Davis is filming it. He's going to use it as a snuff film to try to get people to commit since he can't buy them anymore.
That's your sister getting plowed by the Jonas Brothers. Do you want me to put that? Is I made that happen.
Butch Davis is the dirtiest man. The dirtiest man in the bowl, there's no doubt. By the way, we had Barbara Dooley on earlier today, and you need to hear, she is the best radio guest in the South. I mean, I don't know if you've ever heard her.
Oh, yeah.
But she absolutely went from everything to Jackie Sherrill cutting testicles off and eating them on bowls, which she talked about on air, to the fact that she didn't change her underwear whenever Vince would win, discussed Les Miles' insanity, said she would fight Paul Feinbaum next time he insulted her son. I mean, you name it. She absolutely teed off. Also guaranteed a 14-point win tonight.
Guaranteed.
Yes. Win Namath.
Well, listen, any woman who in the South will go to a barbecue and roll out Lebanese meat pies that you can cook on the grill, I got no problem with that.
She told me she hated Atlanta, so that's why they abandoned Georgia.